It's Willem Backus out in Plattsburgh near my country place, upstate New York, and we have Stephen Pickford in Montreal and a special guest on the phone. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Willem. I'm here in Montreal with one of our regular correspondents, Yoav Saralbo, and also joining us on the line, a noted travel expert, Ed Perkins. Ed is the consumer advocate for the American Society of Travel Agents and the founding editor of Consumer Reports Travel Letter. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning on Travel World. Well, this is the beginning of the peak summer travel season, July 1st weekend in Canada, July 4th in the United States. People are finished school or hitting the roads, hitting the airports. A lot of things they have to be aware of as a concerned traveler.
Oh, yeah. Not the least of which is just coping with the crowds and coping with the huge volumes of people that are going to be moving around the North American continent this summer.
What are some of your tips on how they can be better prepared for what will befall them?
I think in the first place, you've heard the old story about the three most important things about real estate are location, location, and location. And in travel, the three most important things are flexibility, flexibility, and flexibility. The more flexibility you have to go with the flow if something goes wrong and so on, the less trouble you're apt to find. And that means things like give yourself extra time, both getting to an airport, rail station, whatever it is. If you have to connect through a hub like Chicago or Toronto or something, pad your schedule if you can. Don't take that flight that leaves 35 minutes after your first one gets in, because if the first one is delayed a half hour, you're going to miss the second. Give yourself take the next flight out if you can, if there's enough schedule room, and things like that.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed. For example, they'll say the minimum connecting time may be 30 minutes or an hour, and they'll build it in, particularly on heavily traveled routes, on New York, Chicago, or Toronto, Montreal, Toronto, and don't necessarily take the one that will make that direct connection. Leave an hour earlier, give yourself that extra time.
That's right. And when you talk about a route like New York, Chicago, or Toronto to Montreal, or something like that, if you're connecting onto a route like that, there are flights all day long, so you don't, if you want to take a later one, you're not going to have to spend 5 hours in the connecting airport. Your chances are there'll be one out in another hour.
Now, how can you get good pricing during the summertime? It seems that you look at pricing and one element the airlines are saying, the passengers are not there anymore, business travel is down. At the other extreme, they say it's peak season and the prices are high. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction there.
Well, there isn't this year, primarily because the peak season prices are not high for leisure travelers. We've had over the last 10 days, three big U.S. airlines have put their summer and fall airfares on sale. And many of them apply to travel cross-border travel, and I haven't looked at Air Canada, but I suspect they're doing some of they either are doing or will do some of the same thing. What's happened is that the business travel is what's fallen off. It isn't total travel. And in order to compensate for the fall-off in business travel, the airlines are scrambling to get more and more leisure travelers. So you have this situation that people haven't bought their tickets yet. There are going to be some very, very good prices, even for the peak season.
Well, there's even some good prices for business class travel, which never in the past had been discounted. For example, Northwest Airlines has a fare, travel first class, if you pay full coach fare, and even lower if you reserve it 10 days in advance. You have fares with Air Canada now, 7 days advance, stay a Saturday night, and they're cutting 50% off their business class cabin rate. So they are hurting pretty well across the board.
That's right, although I think that those good deals in business class, first class, are primarily going to be used by upscale leisure travelers, because I think the fact of business travel is that I don't think even a significant cut in airfare is going to do much in the way of stimulating demand. It just isn't there. Corporations are reining in their travel expenses, and given the fact that you still got hotel and ground transportation and all that, I do not believe personally that even a dramatic cut in those business fares is going to do much to stimulate business travel.
What I have found amongst the business community is a greater willingness to use, particularly in the transborder market, consolidator airfares where you don't have to stay a Saturday night to reserve 2-3 days in advance, stay 2 nights, and those fares are up to 2/3, 3/4 what the published fare would necessarily be if you weren't staying a Saturday night.
That's correct. Oh, yeah.
And they have to be found out. A lot of times, they aren't necessarily presented to you. Of course, these are unpublished, negotiated boat fares. They are not given to you by the airlines. You have to shop around with a good travel agent.
Yes, and of course, I think what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of people somehow think that if they're going to get a discount ticket, a consolidator ticket, they're going to have to go to some shady little travel agency tucked away in a corner of an ethnic neighborhood someplace. And that isn't the case, that any competent travel agent can get you a consolidator ticket.
And the consolidators of today are large, reputable companies, often part of a larger group, sometimes with indirect airline holdings or conglomerate holdings. It's not the days of the old bucket shops, as you mentioned, where if you paid your money, you might not actually even have a seat on board the plane.
That's right. I mean, it's like so many other businesses, it's evolved from what was kind of a marginal thing now to being an integral part of the whole distribution system.
Now, you also mentioned that you co-authored a report with Darrell Jenkins, the director of the Aviation Institute at George Washington University, and that's over time, or maybe not over extended periods of time, but in the short term even, airfares could really skyrocket.
Yeah, that's a different, that's more of a long-term situation, and that has to do with the fact that in the major cities of North America, we simply have not kept up with the airport capacity we need. And the result of that is, and it's worse in the U.S. cities than it is in Canada, but the net result is that lots of airlines that would like to go into an airport like, well, so a crowded airport such as LaGuardia, New York, or Chicago O'Hare, they can't get in. And when a low fare, because there's no space, there's no capacity for them at the airport. And so that means that at airports like that, you do not have low fare competition. And you folks north of the border and folks south of the border both know that the presence of a low fare airline has a huge impact on how much you pay to go to and from a city.
Yes, as soon as one company comes in, you look at the Southwest Airlines effect, and in Canada, WestJet Airlines. We'll be talking to Siobhan Binnish from WestJet later on in the show. Once one of those carriers come in, hey, it's a matter of competition.
That's right. Not only are their fares low, but everybody else matches them.
They match them rather than lose market share because it's a market share-driven scenario.
That's exactly right. So this is a real problem. There are probably a dozen North American cities that are where the airport capacity is inadequate to take care of the demand. Unfortunately, these are all important cities like O'Hare and like New York LaGuardia that affect the entire transport system. So Darrell and I have written this paper that basically says it's going to get worse before it gets better in terms of delays and higher fares and that kind of thing. Right now it's being cushioned by the fact that we're having an economic slowdown. But once the economy starts booming again, I think you're going to start seeing increases in delays and more problems of that kind.
We got about 30 seconds before the break. Anything to add as we break for commercial?
We're going to be continuing with Ed Perkins after the break here on Travel World, talking about what you can do to make your travel experience this summer a little better and the state of the aviation industry in North America. Stay listening to Travel World across America via satellite. This is the Liberty Works Radio Network.
everybody, and welcome to another edition of Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Skip Snow, and I'm here Monday through Friday bringing you the latest in vitamins, herbs, natural foods, and, of course, ways to balance your body, mind, and spirit.
Healthy Alternatives.
We are a society who are victims of this system, and our health is collapsing.
With Dr. Skip Snow.
I try to give you the practical information in terms of how it's probably affecting you right now.
Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, on this station and Liberty Works Radio. It's a fact. More and more vehicle accidents are being blamed on the use of cell phones while driving. Some states have made it illegal to use a phone while driving unless it's equipped with a hands-free speakerphone. That's why we developed the Navigator Hands-Free Kit that turns your cell phone into a speakerphone. It even powers and charges, and you can move it between vehicles without expensive adapters or installation. The Navigator Hands-Free Kit is a snap to install and incredibly easy to use with your Motorola StarTAC or Nokia 5100 or 6100 series cellular phones. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. Order the Navigator Hands-Free Kit for only $69.95. An optional universal kit is available for most other phones without the charger for $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. If not satisfied, return it within 90 days for a full, no-questions-asked refund. At $69.95, the Navigator is much less expensive than the adapters cell phone companies want to sell you. Call 1-800-695-7698 now.
I can read. Three little words parents and grandparents long to hear. I can read. The key that unlocks a lifetime of opportunity. I can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day, reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention the station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Overweight? Tried to lose weight? Find it impossible? You should know that dieting will never work because there is no such thing as willpower. According to the Federal Center for Disease Control, the concept that willpower will lead to weight loss is a myth and responsible for a sharp increase in obesity. There are hardcore dieters that have gone through life-threatening procedures such as stomach stapling and liposuction. It's all unnecessary. Fat Destroyer, a new easy-to-take herbal supplement, will eliminate fat, ugly cellulite, and a fat gut safely with no hunger pangs at all. Fat Destroyer naturally burns away fat. A miracle. Fat Destroyer is based on research done at Harvard University and other leading research centers, and even written up in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Lose weight the only way that works. To try Fat Destroyer risk-free through this special radio offer, call 1-800-851-5313. To achieve your weight loss goals, don't delay. Call 1-800-851-5313. That's 1-800-851-5313.
Every night on 21st Century Radio, Dr. Bob Hieronymus takes myths of past, present, and future and shows you the facts of the matters.
Some fossilized bone from some dinosaur and said, well, this was the proof of the great serpent of Razzmatazz. You know, this is all speculation, friends.
Move your way of thinking into the 21st century.
These are serious problems.
21st Century Radio, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern on this station and Liberty Works Radio.
Great new music. Welcome back once again to Travel World. It's Willem Backus here in upstate New York in the Champlain Center north of Plattsburgh, and Stephen Pickford and Yoav Sarabo in Montreal.
Yes, good morning. How's it down in Plattsburgh this morning, Willem?
Oh, it's awfully nice. It cooled down a little bit. We had a bit of a rain spot, and now it's getting sunny again. So nice and relaxed up at my my country place, just west of Plattsburgh.
Yes, it's the summertime travel season, people hitting the road, people hitting the airports, and we're speaking to Ed Perkins this morning. Ed writes Ed Perkins on Travel and Seniors on the Go, syndicated columns in major U.S. newspapers and popular websites, and he also wrote Online Travel, a 270-page book on the pros and cons of internet buying. Now, Ed, is it that one of those hype things, internet, buy on the internet, get a great deal, you're going to save, there have been all of these comparative articles in national newspapers where you go to five different websites, get five different prices, and then often a local travel agent can beat the price.
That's right, and of course people often structure the question as going to a travel agent versus using the internet, when in fact most of the internet sites are actually travel agencies that are running online, sometimes only online, other times it's a bricks and mortar agency that has an online element to it. So that's kind of a false distinction. Now, when we talk about what's on the internet, I mean, it's very clear that some airlines offer airfare deals on the internet that are not available anywhere else, and that's just a fact of life. Most of them tend to be short-term things, although some of them are really just sort of any ticket. I mean, I think right now Delta, for example, has got some sort of a deal that if you buy online, the price is something like 20% less, and that can be a significant number of dollars. So on the airfare side, I think you have to say that, yes, there are some deals that are available only on the internet. But don't forget, airfare is not everything. There's more to travel expenses than airfare. And I think in these public discussions, people tend to have tunnel vision about talking about airfare, when in many cases, what's really going to kill you if you're not careful is the hotel cost. For example, when airfares are on sale from Toronto or the East Coast of the U.S. to London, you can often fly London, England, not Ontario. You can often fly nonstop to London round trip for less than the cost of one night in a first-class London hotel. So I think people have to remember that there's a lot of important other elements of the travel picture beside airfare, and in these cases, you generally do not find anything on the internet that is not available through ordinary bricks and mortar type travel agencies.
And often, by putting together a package through a tour operator, the travel agent can save you money by putting together all of the components that are necessary for your trip to one of these long-haul destinations.
Oh, that's right. And many of the long-haul airlines, particularly the ones that specialize in leisure travel, like, what is it, Canada 3000, I believe.
Right.
These people, through their wholesale tour operations, often have some very, very good packages that combine airfare and hotel, and sometimes throw in a rental car or whatever.
They've got the purchasing power behind them, and all of the major U.S. and Canadian airlines have some sort of affiliation with tour operators that give them these negotiated bulk airfares, and they've got the negotiated rates with the hotels, but they've got the clout behind them as well.
That's right.
So you got to watch the travel agent that you choose one way or the other. That's kind of underscored, because there are a lot of travel agents out there, you know, fresh out of travel agent school or what have you. And you got to shop around. It's oftentimes you got to find there's one special travel agent who's better than the rest, and usually you'll find that through word of mouth. So shop around and get a good one.
Oh, that's right. I mean, anytime you're talking about a professional providing services, you have to find the right person. I mean, whether you're talking about a dentist or an accountant or a stockbroker or anything else, I mean, these people, they live or die on the basis of the kind of personal service they get. And you need to find somebody who works well with you.
Well, it becomes a personal relationship kind of thing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because there's more to it than just a question of the best price. I mean, people who buy professional services and products based on price alone are getting robbed of what really counts. And that's a person a real live person at the other end of the transaction who understands what it is that you're trying to achieve and who is there to help you in case things go wrong.
That's right.
Customer service has to be the overriding element when somebody is looking to do business. Who is going to stand behind their product? Who is going to go to bat for you if something goes wrong, not just be here today, gone tomorrow?
That's right. And along those lines, one of my usual pieces of advice to people is be very wary about dealing with any sort of travel supplier that does not have an office reasonably close to where you live. I'm sure that you see these small ads in Sunday travel sections and so on about ticket discounters and people like that who may be working out of New York or out of Florida or out of California. And if you don't live there, be very careful about dealing with them, because if anything, it's very difficult to put together any kind of a long-distance personal relationship. And if anything goes wrong, any question arises, if you're dealing with an office that's 400 or 500 miles or 2,000 or 3,000 miles away, you're not going to be able to resolve the question as easily as you would be dealing with somebody in or near your own hometown.
And if you were ever going to take them to court, they may have some fine print on their website, let's say, which says this transaction is governed under the statutes of the state of Wyoming, and all litigation will be done through some courthouse in Cheyenne, you know. I mean,
yeah, or Panama or something, yeah. And that's right. And what's happened is that in the U.S., you can use our small claim court system to solve problems that cannot be resolved any other way. But it doesn't do you any good if the supplier is on the other side of the country.
And how are you going to, even if you got a judgment against a supplier in a particular city, how are you going to collect on that judgment?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, not just the court thing, but still, I mean, honestly, how is somebody out in the middle of, Timbuktu going to understand, you know, your needs, your preferences, and so on? It's a very difficult thing, maintaining the long distance. Therefore, you underscore the whole business of, you know, shopping by price alone is a dangerous thing. I mean, it's one thing if you've already got a relationship with a professional travel agent that no matter where you travel, they'll help you. But again, you got to establish that.
That's right, and that brings up another point, which is very important, I think, and that is that when you have a relationship with a travel agent, you should feel free to call that travel agent from anywhere in the world if you run into a problem and say, hey, how do we fix this? And because it's much easier if you're far away from home, maybe don't have access to your computer, and you're someplace where there's not much in the way of business infrastructure. If something seriously goes wrong, what you really should do is call your travel agent back home and say, look, I have a problem here. Can we move me to a different hotel or change my air reservation or whatever it might be? And the travel agent can do that much more easily than you can.
And it's somebody that you can speak to in your own language who can deal with the people here in North America at the airline or hotel level and resolve the situation for you.
That's right.
True, and a very important point among that is also there are travel agents these days because of the way certain suppliers have their rate structures and compensation structures that they will charge a service fee. But then again, don't be afraid of that, because oftentimes by spending, say, $50, $20 or what have you for a nominal service fee, you're going to end up with an incredible service from a travel agent that you can call them even if you're in Brattleboro and you end up losing your Visa card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all too soon people will think, oh, I don't want to pay a service fee, but they're going to be paying a service fee. When they go to an accountant, when they go to a lawyer, you're dealing with a professional, and you're paying for his experience, his expertise, his knowledge. You're getting that value.
That's right. I just don't see anything wrong with it at all.
No, I think we have one of those elements that you have to educate the public, and the public is gradually getting to that point where the latest figure, 85-90% of travel agents in North America charge a reasonable fee for their services, but you end up saving that money 10 times over by getting advice that can lead you to the right product, the right supplier for your personal needs. It's the satisfaction element that you get out of your trip by that far outweighs any cost that may be involved.
That's we got a break for news, actually, in about 10 seconds. So
we're going to keep Ed Perkins here on the line, talk more about how to get the most from your travel dollars this summertime on the Travel World Radio Show on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
This is the Liberty Works Network News. I'm Jim Kerr. The Washington Times reports a senior CIA official told Congress that Russia and Communist China are developing military capabilities to attack U.S. computer-based infrastructures through information warfare strikes. Lawrence Gershwin, the National Intelligence Officer for Science and Technology, told the Joint Economic Committee that some nations have stated publicly that cyber warfare will be a key form of future military preparations. Mr. Gershwin said that there was much evidence of this from countries such as Communist China and Russia, and that several other nations have active information warfare development programs.
Mr. Maryland.
Super Bowl champion Keith Washington knows how to get results. So follow him to Sherry's Hair Salon, 410-840-4776. That's Sherry's in Westminster, 410-840-4776.
Back to Travel World with going back to season 6 with Yoav Saralbo. I'm in here in upstate New York in beautiful Plattsburgh, and Yoav and Stephen are in Beaconsfield in the broadcast center. And you know that commercial, of course, the full service salon always reminds me of Polly's full service salon in Montreal. I read somewhere from a guy named James Cricket that.
Oh yes, actually, the news this week that a Paulina Abarca, famous actress from stage and screen, ENG, and Due South, which has carried syndication across North America, is 7 months pregnant and expecting a baby, and so that's something to watch for fans of Paulina Abarca. So, Jerry Wagshall, hey, I don't know whether it's your love child. Talking to Ed Perkins this morning, Ed writes Ed Perkins on Travel and Seniors on the Go, syndicated columns in major U.S. newspapers and popular websites. And, Ed, I think Yoav has a question for you.
Hey, Mr. Yeah. Perkins. Lots of people need to leave at the last minute, but I've noticed that prices for those tickets are generally really high. I mean, like 2-3 times more the fare that it would be if you bought them 2-3 weeks earlier. How can you go about getting cheaper rates if you have to leave right away?
Low-fare airlines often have lower last-minute prices than the big guys. And if a low-fare airline goes where you're going, won't pay as much as you might otherwise pay. Beyond that, you're pretty well relegated for inexpensive last-minute travel. You're pretty well relegated to the consolidator market, at least in areas where they sell consolidator tickets. Now, if you're talking about from Toronto to Winnipeg or something like that, that's a little more difficult. Although even then, you may very well get some discount market tickets in routes like that, but these are the places you have to go because the idea of it's kind of funny that even after all these years, I still often hear people talk about going out to the airport and getting a cheap standby ticket. And of course, in most cases, there is no such thing as a cheap standby ticket anymore. So it's a difficult problem, and as I say, it's either a discounted consolidator ticket or a low-fare airline are your best bets.
And I think a lot of people fail to also check out that it may be advantageous for them to buy a getaway package, even if they don't need the hotel or the car. the package may still come out to be costing them less than the airfare alone.
That's right. That's an excellent point. That you can often the hotel plus air packages often do not have the advance purchase restrictions that the straight airfare has.
Now, you're also talking about knowing your rights, and too often people think, oh, the airlines can walk all over them, and the arrogance and the attitudes of a lot of the people they tend to hire at the airports tend to convey that impression to the traveling public. What can a passenger do? Something happens at the airport, you're talking about Rule 240. What is Rule 240?
In the first place, it's not a rule. I don't know why it's called that, but it's actually a portion of each major airline's tariff, which they have to file with the government to as part of doing business. And it's that part of their tariff that specifies what they will do, what they've promised to do for travelers who are delayed or face canceled flight. And basically, among the large airlines, what the requirement says is that if your flight is canceled or delayed for a reason that's basically the airline's fault, a mechanical or crew schedule or something like that, that airline is required to endorse your ticket over to a competitor if that competitor can get you to your destination more quickly. Now, the particulars vary a little bit from airline to airline, but among the large airlines in North America, that policy generally holds, and that's for all classes of tickets, not just for expensive business tickets.
And of course, the airline people at the airport are not going to bring that piece of information up front, because, for example, during the recent, they've settled, but we'll believe it when they actually go back, the Comair Delta Connection strike, and Delta was saying, we'll protect you on Delta flights. And I knew somebody who was coming back from Tucson, Arizona, and Delta's only flight was a red eye back via Atlanta with a 5.5-hour layover. They only, when it was pointed out to them that they had to endorse you to another carrier, did they miraculously find that there was a midday flight with Northwest with a 42-minute connection in Minneapolis. They preferred to keep you on their carrier, even if it was going to mean great inconvenience, just to keep a few dollars of revenue.
Oh, sure, because if they sign your ticket over to some other airline, the money has to go with it.
And, of course, that is something that in these days of increasing airline losses, they are watching every penny. So unless you stand firm and say, no, I know my rights, put me on the competitor, they'll try to keep you on board their flight, even if it's the most inconvenient way that you can go.
That's right.
Now, what do you suggest as a strategy for invoking something like that? I know that whenever I'm traveling with Steve, for instance, I mean, whenever there's some issue to do, he's right up and at him, and I usually don't see how it starts out. But let's say you're John Q. Public, or, you know, me, for instance, and this happens, and you're encountering a gate agent or somebody who's refusing to do this.
If the gate agent, if you actually request a Rule 240 transfer and the airline employee refuses to do that, I mean, that's a violation of the airline's tariff, and you can actually call for an enforcement action against the airline.
How?
As a practical matter, what you may have to do is buy another ticket and then get that money back after the fact.
Now, what if you're a guy like me and your credit cards are all maxed out and you're really stuck? You got this ticket. You got to get home. How would you do it? Who would you call?
The only thing you can do is go up the chain. If the guy at the counter says, well, the woman at the counter says, you have to wait for our next flight, then you have to say, let me talk to a supervisor. I know my Rule 240 rights here.
Okay.
And chances are, at some one or two levels up the management chain, you'll get somebody who realizes that the airline would be in a great deal of trouble if it refused to give you a 240 transfer.
Is there an independent regulatory person, for instance, at the airport that can enforce this, that doesn't work for the airline, that can say, that who knows the rules, and he can say, Mr. or Ms. So-and-so, this airline is refusing to do this, and I know that this is the rule.
I think that's a great idea to have an ombudsman around, a roving ombudsman around at every major airport. Unfortunately, there's nothing like that at all.
And then afterwards, you have to file your complaint with the Department of Transportation or the Ministry of Transportation in Canada. And
yeah.
file that complaint, and then months later they may, you read about fines being levied against carriers for not adhering to these regulations.
Well, I think that's right. And the other thing is that if you have to haul them into small claims court, you ask for not only a complete refund of whatever else you had to spend, but also some coverage for the time and effort that you took to haul them into court. And these small claims courts are generally quite favorable towards consumers in instances like this.
Well, I think also from the key words you can say at the airport, which seems to strike fear in a lot of ticket agents, is, can you speak to the station manager?
Yeah.
And get me the station manager, and most times he is on the third floor of the building, does not want to come down, does not want to be bothered, would be very irate that he had to maybe put down his newspaper to solve a problem that some minion could not handle on his own from reading the manual. So things miraculously get done rather than invoke the wrath of the station manager.
Well, take notes. This is how Stephen does it. We have 1 minute and a half left to go before the break.
So, Ed, what are some? In summary, this summer, what can we expect on the travel horizon this summer? Is there going to be a summer of discontent like in some of the past years, or are we going to have a summer where things will run a little bit more smoothly?
Oh, I think overall things might run a bit more smoothly. Folks up in Canada have already solved one of the big problems, which is how to organize the air traffic control system more efficiently than we've managed to on our side of the border. In a way, how bad the summer is going to be depends more or less on the weather. If you have bad summer storms, you're going to have serious problems. If you go through a reasonably mild summer in terms of weather, chances are the system can handle it reasonably well. The other big cloud on the horizon, of course, is it's going to be a strike at American Airlines, which would be a huge impact on all of North America. And at this point, we simply do not know.
We don't know what the flight attendants are going to be.
No, as far as I know, even as we speak, the negotiations are continuing, and we simply don't know what the outcome is going to be. But if there is a strike, it's going to be a very, very difficult summer.
The other carriers are already busy enough, and they don't have the capacity to take those displaced passengers.
No, there isn't that much slack in the system anymore.
There used to be enough space with companies like Eastern, et cetera, and but their demise, they can't take it.
And load factors are so high now. When load factors were in the low 60s, why, if one airline goes out, there's enough extra seats around to on the other airlines. But now, when the load factors are up in the 70s. There aren't that many seats.
Well, Ed Perkins, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Travel World, and we can hope for happy travels for you and for our listeners through the summer months.
It's been nice being with you.
And when we continue here on Travel World, Siobhan Vinish, WestJet Airlines, one of those low-fare carriers that Ed was talking about. Stay listening to Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Read SierraTimes.com to get the real stories.
SierraTimes.com, what's that?
SierraTimes.com is an internet news publication with no ties to the government or mainstream liberal media. They get to the truth behind the stories and publish the real news that the liberals don't want you to see.
Oh, one of those crackpot websites, huh?
Well, not exactly, Judy. SierraTimes.com has broken several major news stories and is read by hundreds of thousands of Americans who want to know what's really going on. They cover the stories that aren't politically correct so that people can make informed decisions about elections, about referendums, about serious issues that may mean a danger to our very freedoms.
Okay, sounds interesting. So where can I find it?
Oh, you girls are so cute. I told you, if you want news with an attitude, then go to www.sierratimes.com. That's www.sierratimes.com.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe, ultra-memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
Democrats, you should do anything but work with those leftist lunatics. Share power.
What attitude?
Share this.
Right now.
Sab Capilla.
Government loves the idea that you are fighting your fellow Americans.
Well, we're saying we're African American. We're Italian American. The Chinese American.
While everybody is dividing and being divisive,
the government's controlling you and stealing your money.
We've got a malfunctioning officer in Corridor 7A.
The FBI. What do we tell you, FBI?
You think patriots are against the FBI? We're not against the FBI.
We don't like you killing patriots.
The number one enemy of the state.
Sab Capelli.
Help is on the way.
Once again, I am shown to be right. When I told you that voting was a fraud, a lot of you chastised me. At least 31% of you who vote, your vote doesn't count. Can I hear in unison an apology to me for saying I was full of it?
Truth made real.
I mean, come on, people, let's get some brains going here, huh?
Sab Capelli, weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern.
On Liberty Works Radio.
Welcome back to Travel World in Willem Backus. Stephen Pickford, Neuro Cerebral. I'm in upstate New York in my country place near Plattsburgh, and of course, we got Stephen Pickford, and you're on in Beaconsfield in Montreal.
Yes, good morning. Hoping you're enjoying this long weekend here in Canada and coming up to a holiday week in the United States. And summer travel on the rise, and joining us now is Siobhan Vinish from WestJet Airlines, based in Calgary, Alberta, one of the new carriers, a low-fare carrier that Ed Perkins was talking about earlier. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you could join us this morning on Travel World. For our listeners in the United States, tell us a little bit more about WestJet. I guess the most comparable carrier that they would be able to relate to in concept would be Southwest.
That's right. WestJet is really a Southwest of approximately 20 years ago. We are an airline that started to fly in February of 1996 with three airplanes flying to five cities. Now, after 5.5 years, we are operating 23 aircraft to 17 cities across Canada. We continue to be a low-fare carrier, just like Southwest, and we follow their model very closely, do a lot of things that Southwest has done and been very successful in the way that we are a ticketless carrier. We don't produce tickets at all. People just bring their confirmation numbers to the counters when they check in. We don't have any meals, but we've got great friendly service, and we try to keep things very simple so we can move people from point A to point B across Canada.
And making flying fun, because people who have flown with WestJet say this is the way they remember flying to be. It's personalized service, people who genuinely seem to enjoy what they're doing.
Absolutely. The company is just filled with youthful enthusiasm. You know, we have approximately 1,600 people now who work for WestJet across the country. And, you know, they've got a great, great sense of humor. They've got a great focus on customer service. They tend to spend a lot of time with our guests and talking to them and telling jokes and playing games on board the aircraft and just providing a relaxing travel experience. I think, traveling, oftentimes we think of the joys of traveling of when we finally get to our destination. And WestJet likes to provide people with an opportunity to enjoy their travel experience as well. So it's very much a focus of ours. It's something we work really hard on, and our frontline staff, our flight crews certainly work very hard to make sure our customers feel that.
You started off as a carrier based, of course, from your name, WestJet, based in Calgary, serving the western provinces of Canada, but in the past year or so, you've steadily increased your presence heading east into Ontario and becoming more and more a national carrier.
Absolutely. We developed a hub in Hamilton, which is just in the southeastern part of Ontario, which is about an hour and a half drive from Buffalo, New York. And we started a central hub there, which is giving us the ability to connect our western network, which is our hub is somewhat in Calgary, to Hamilton and then on to Moncton and to Ottawa from there. So we certainly are now able to stretch our wings across the country and become a national carrier.
And, of course, Hamilton is the uncongested airport. You're really the carrier there other than some commuter flights on U.S. Airways Express. You're not going to have that number 42 in line experience that you would in Toronto, and Hamilton places you very conveniently for the industrial belt, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, and heading west out to London and those southwestern Ontario cities.
Absolutely. Toronto is a very busy airport, and Hamilton gives us an opportunity to fly in, to get in, deplane our passengers, reload new passengers, and put our bags on, refuel the aircraft, and be off and again in approximately 25 minutes. So that makes it very, very convenient for people. Also, if, for example, we're flying people from Moncton through Hamilton on to Calgary, there's only a 25-minute wait in Hamilton if they have to do that. So it's very, very convenient. It's a short walk. Its parking is very close to the terminal, so people are not taking that very long walk from a parkade in a major airport, trying to find their check-in counter, trying to find their gate. So Hamilton is very, very convenient for there. And, yes, at the moment, we are the only carrier that flies out of Hamilton. So it's a great opportunity for WestJet, and certainly for the city of Hamilton. It's very well located. There's a lot of great communities around there. So we've had a lot of support, and we see it as a growing airport for us with a lot of opportunity for future expansion.
And this also means for cities like Ottawa and Moncton providing one-stop direct through flights to other western cities that they would not otherwise have had.
Absolutely. Expand our airline and become more and more of a national airline. Those aircraft are going to be key for exactly that. Getting people from where they need to go without as many stops. So Ottawa, for example, we are now launching new service from Ottawa direct to Calgary. This summer we're going to be operating nonstop service from Saskatoon and Regina to Ottawa. We have a one-stop from Hamilton to Vancouver over Edmonton with these new aircraft. So we're going to be able to fly much further on a nonstop basis with these new aircraft and connecting the city, the country, a lot better.
The advantage of WestJet as well is your uncomplicated fare structure. You don't have to reserve, 6 months in advance and travel after 3 a.m. on under a full moon in order to get a reasonable fare. You'll sell a discounted one way. You don't need a degree in engineering to figure out how the fares were computed. It's easy to understand.
Absolutely. Our whole philosophy is trying to make this process very simple. It doesn't really need to be complicated to fly. So, you're right. We have fares that range. There's a low fare and a very high fare, the most that you'll ever pay, in a sense. What you do with WestJet is we don't have any restrictions on Saturday night stays. We don't have any restrictions with regards to having to book 6 months in advance to get low fares. We have a percentage of our aircraft that is approximately 60% that has low fares, and we sell those low fares until they sell out, and then the fare bumps up a little bit to the next level as it's supply and demand sort of theory. So, we continue to be a very low-fare carrier in that sense. Our higher-end fares, which are the last-minute fares, are the ones that are really a great deal in Canada. Those are the ones that continue to be about 50% less than the other carriers in the country. So even at our highest end, we're still the lowest deal, the best fare. Our low-end fares are all of our fares are booked on a one-way basis, and they are booked that way in order to provide our customers with some great convenience and the ability to save even more money. For example, if you have to go tomorrow and fly with WestJet, but you are actually coming back 2 weeks later, tomorrow, if you fly, you may have to pay a higher fare, but you only pay it on that one way. 2 weeks from now, you're going to be paying the lowest fare. And so it allows you to combine those two sets of fares and really save yourself some money.
And this is also great for our American listeners who come into one city in Canada and have to return from another. Being able to purchase a one-way ticket to complete that open jaw, they're not going to be gouged with an exorbitant fare that makes traveling long distances that they might have otherwise done by car, by bus, they can get there in an hour or so by taking WestJet.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many people who either do business and fly into one city, drive and fly out of another, or just are coming to vacation in Canada and fly into one city and drive along some of the beautiful routes and fly out of another one. So it certainly makes things a lot easier for them, and it's convenient and it's easy to do as an airline. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Oh, sounds good. You really are Canada's low-fare leader, and you can check WestJet out on the internet at www.westjet.com or call 1-800-538-5696. So any plans to expand further afield? Are you just like into transborder routes or simply stay to you do best, traveling domestically within Canada?
Well, we believe there's a lot of opportunity still for us in Canada, but we also see opportunity within the next 2, 3, or 4 years to go into the United States in certain places. So, you know, it's yet to be seen at this point, and there's a lot of growth yet for us in Canada. We have those 36 new airplanes that will be coming between now and 2006. So we'll be expanding and growing and providing services to more communities, both in Canada and hopefully in the U.S. in the years to come.
Oh, sounds good. Wish you all the best. Siobhan Vinish from WestJet Airlines, Calgary-based, expanding all the time. 1-800-538-5696, www.westjet.com. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. And coming up next week, hey, we're going to be heading north of Montreal to Estoril, Neil Drabkin's annual barbecue. Yeah. He'll be giving us some picks on some restaurants in New York City. And we're also going to tell you a story about ghosts and spirits that inhabit Bellows Falls, Vermont. That's kind of a wacky story as well. Sharon Delaney from NBC 17 in Raleigh. She's back from the Emerald Isle, discovering family heritage, family friends, enjoying Ireland. And that's all next Saturday on the Travel World Radio Show, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Yoav Saralbo.
Until next week, happy traveling, everyone.